today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Scott, I got some Christmas songs. You want one?
No, I want two.
Hello, everyone. As you may have known from listening this week, I am joined by the lovely and talented. He tries to take that away, but it's true. I've met him in person. Mr. Scott Parks.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Nice to have you again. This has been a really fun week. I really enjoyed it. So a couple of things before we get into today's topic. So you and I have spent some time recently working on a very special track for your daughter. You want to go ahead and say a little bit?
Sure, yeah. My daughter, Allie, she loves singing, and I knew Mike had written a bunch of Christmas songs and has released at least one. And so I reached out to him. It was March-ish of 2022, just to say, hey, maybe you have something that my daughter could sing. Took us a little while to actually make it all work, but earlier this past summer, here in June, my daughter Allie and myself and my wife Carrie went to Lafayette, recorded some vocals with Hans and Brittany from Frank Muffin, and Mike has mixed the song, and we're about ready to release the song called At Home to the world. So it's pretty exciting, and we're going to try to do some promotion and try to blow it up.
Yes, and everyone on who is listening to this podcast should listen to it. I think they should put it on repeat and play it all the whole month of December. Yeah. Like, let's blow Mariah Carey out of the water is what the plan is,
right?
If I'm not mistaken.
And when you hear a Christmas song, if you're like me and you're not a huge fan of Christmas music, you will like this song because it is a non-traditional Christmas song. And really, you could play it all year long. The only thing that it says about Christmas are some of the lyrics, but it's just got an amazing set of lyrics and just amazing feeling. And I know we're proud to have been able to do this and bring Mike's baby to the world. So it's going to be exciting for everybody to hear it.
Yes, and Allie sings absolutely beautifully, and I was thrilled. As the writer, I'm thrilled by it. I couldn't be happier with it. So we thought we would just share that with everybody. And at the same time, my partner and I, Mr. EPJ, along with several folks from the Friday Night Hootenanny, we have a complete album that we are working on. Earlier this year, I moved from Houston to the lovely confines of Northern Virginia. Happy to be here. And that's where Scott and I met. He came to my house a couple of weeks ago. And so we hope to have that out. Don't know if we'll make it this year, but probably early next year, because it's much harder when you're doing it virtually. But several of the folks from the Hootenanny will be on it, and we'll have more information. And EPJ and I have corralled Mr. Parks to be our A&R guy and promotion guy. That's so.
There you go.
All right. So on to today's topic. I started out this week. I was going to do this with Patrick Foster, but he had some stuff come up. And as I mentioned, and Scott was graciously came in and flew blind, and he's done a great job. And thank you, Scott, for that. And we were sort of sending Scott songs back and forth and ideas back and forth. And I sent him this one song off this album, which I adore. It's from the album called Want One by Rufus Wainwright. And as Scott has come to know, I don't like a lot of stuff. Or I'm just like, it's okay. But on this one, I think we both agree. I send in this one song. We'll talk about the song when we get to it. And I think you sort of fell in love instantly. Sort of give me your initial reaction to the song.
I did, yeah. So, you know, kind of similar to the other topics we covered this week with Sly and Traffic and Michael Kiwanuka, I wasn't, you know, really familiar with Rufus Wainwright. I've listened to some of his music and heard some songs, but he's not a major star here. So I had never heard anything off of this, and you sent this to me the other day. And I was immediately blown away. It is incredible. And I know you've said you're having to fight yourself to stop listening to it. And I've been kind of the exact same way, still in that period of trying to absorb it. So I'm not probably as familiar with it as you, since you've been listening to this for a while. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to believe that this album will be 20 in September, and I've never heard it until this week. So yeah. I think everybody out there in the RTS community is going to hear something from these six or seven songs we're going to play that they're going to latch onto, and I think we might turn a lot of people onto this record. It's really good.
Excellent. So as I said, the name of the album is called Want One by Rufus Wainwright, and there's also a Want Two. So they were conceived together as an idea together. So we're going to go through the songs and sort of talk about them, and hopefully it's something that some folks out there are like, and they'll play it over and over just like we do. How's that?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, so you want to talk about the first?
So you sent me not track one to begin with, and the track you sent me we're going to talk about in a couple, which was the one that kind of was the hook for me. But I went ahead and just started playing it from the beginning, and my brain exploded about halfway through the first song, which is called Oh What a World. And it's this slow grower of a song that has a full symphonic orchestra. It has parts of the song Bolero, of the musical Bolero in there, and it's just awesome. I don't know that we're going to be able to even play
enough justice,
of
just,
it. Yeah,
know,
to get like, to do it justice.
But, I agree.
We're going to have to play at least a little bit of it, but it's so good. I told Mike, people may not know this about me, but I am actually a sucker for Broadway musicals, and a lot of this record kind of hits that button for me, where it's kind of musical-ish. It's very cinematic, and this song is the perfect opener for this record, that it just sucked me in the second that it started kind of building and getting to that middle part. It just sucked me in. So the first track is called Oh What a World.
So we'll just start at the beginning for these folks, and then they can go back and listen to the whole thing. How's that?
Yeah, sounds good. You could hear right there, just from that little snippet, the that deep I'm not sure if it's like a tuba,
yep,
or
tuba.
what instrument that is, but that's just the beginning. And just imagine that continuing to build, and every verse it layers on more instruments and layers on more orchestration and more voices, and it's just a beautiful and amazing song. I love it so much.
So here's something I'm going to repeat often on this album. It does build. What makes this so unique is it doesn't hit you over the head that it's building. you get to the end and you're like, there's just like so much going on. And at no point in the song did like it just go, you know, it's not like quiet to loud or loud to quiet. I mean, and a lot, this song doesn't do it. And, but at the end, there's just it just, I think your word cinematic is spot on and just very evocative and fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking at Wikipedia and it's, you know, it says the album's opener, Oh What a World, has been described as a choir of harmonies building to a full orchestra that finds Wainwright leading what can only be described as a masterpiece of horns, harmonies, and hope. And I mean, that's exactly it. Like, you couldn't put it any better than that.
So we can't play the whole thing, but we certainly both recommend at least go to this one.
Everyone needs to listen to the entire, you know, entire song on this particular song. It's just so good.
So that's the opener. And then it goes right into the next one, which is called I Don't Know What It Is. And it's very similar here. It starts off, we'll start at the beginning again, but it actually has just a number of twists and turns. Again, they're not dramatic. And that's what I love about it. Because I'm not a big fan of like huge changes in songs unless there's a reason, and it's the build up and the different hooks that go in and out of this thing are amazing. So anything to add to that, Scott?
No, I think you kind of nailed it right there.
So let's have a listen to this one real quick.
I don't know what it is, but you gotta do it. I don't know where to go, but you gotta be there. I don't know where to fall, but I know that it's comfortable where I don't know where it is.
I mean, so good. That song starts just like really sparse and pretty. And it's, you know, very Beatlesque in the at the end, you know, it climaxes and it almost feels like a train wreck happening there at the end. But everything in its place. And when I say train wreck, just the loudness, just the cacophony of all of the instruments together, you never, ever would expect it to end the way it ends based on the way it starts. It's
exactly
just so good.
But it's not like it's like this dramatic turn anywhere, right?
No, it's just a slow
like
build.
This and, is amazing. And well,
like you've said on a lot of these other songs, it's exactly the same. It maybe doesn't start as quiet, but the beginning versus the end are not the same. It's just so good.
The next song we're going to play is the song that I sent Scott. And before we get into it, I am not a big fan of very big bombastic songs. And this one heads in that direction, but it just works for me on so many levels. The name of the song is Go or Go Ahead. And I'm not surprised that like this was not more well known. It's not even the most popular song on Spotify from the album, but I think it's amazing. It starts off and it does have a dramatic change in the song where it goes from quiet and it goes to quite loud and very, very dramatic. So Scott, why don't you talk about this a bit?
Well, when you first sent this to me, the thing that came to my mind is a band, and you and I've had a little conversation about it over the last couple of days, and it's Radiohead. I mean, this song, I'm not kidding, could have been an outtake from Paranoid era, from OK Computer, at least in my, to my ear.
I would put it the other way around, that Radiohead could be an outtake on this, but
this came out after OK Computer. I'm just saying his voice sounds very similar to Thom Yorke. The instrumentation, everything sounds like Radiohead. Not that he was copying or anything, but that's what it first, you know, kind of came to my mind. But it's a wonderful song. I just love everything about it. I think we had talked about a certain spot that we would maybe want to
On this one, we are going to start from the beginning so we can kind of show you the uptake. So we'll start there, and then we'll come back and talk about a little bit more, okay?
Sounds good.
I will opt for the big white limo, Vanity Fairgrounds and Rebel Angels. You can't be trusted with feathers so hollow. Your heaven's invention, steel-eyed vampires. Love to say, oh, may I never know what you show to other eyes. Go, oh, go ahead and
it's just incredible. I mean, as you could hear, it starts a little slow and it just soars. When it gets to that part where he is like full throated, he's got the people, like his background singers in the background sounding like angels. It's, I can't get enough. You get chills just listening to that song.
And I've always been reticent to share this song with people, because I like, there's so many songs that are just over. I mean, I don't like to be this way. It's just what I hear. There's so many songs that are just oh so overwrought, and they're oversung, and they're sort of big and like that. But the reason for me that this works is because it earns it. You know, the song is just not coming in like that. Build is not like quiet, quiet, quiet. Boom. You know, it's not quiet, soft, quiet, soft. It's like there's this great lyrical intensity, music intensity. I mean, we're a couple of minutes into the song when we got there, and it's not like you're bored the first couple of minutes either. It's not like and that line just kills me every time. The line about "I'll never know what you have shown to other eyes." I am a junkie for like really, really smart twist on words that convey some image in everybody's mind, but everybody has a different image. I love that sort of writing, and that's really difficult to do. Sorry.
I think on this song too, that's okay. I think on this song too, you've already heard what has happened in these other songs. So that's why you're not bored at the beginning, because there's the anticipation of what is this going to become. So you got that with the title track, or with the lead track. You got that with the second track. You know that this album is going to throw you, maybe not curveballs, but the songs aren't going to be the same from beginning to end. And when it finally gets there, it's just incredible. I will say, I've listened to the whole entire album a couple of times, but I've listened to this song, I would just replay it. I would get to the end and I would replay it.
I got
to
hear that again.
So I've only listened to the second half of this album probably fully through twice in the last couple of days, but I've probably listened to this song easily 15 or 20 times because I just can't. Because
you get to it and you're like, repeat.
That's right. I just want to hear it again when it gets to the end, because at the end, as you would assume, it dips back down to that slower part, and it's just, I don't know. It's so good. I love it.
The other thing is that this is not a typical song for him. Like this sort of big production song. I mean, there's that's not to say it's like with the electric guitars and big drums and big bass. That's not how the other ones there. I mean, there's cacophonies, but this is like sort of, as you say, sort of Radiohead-ish, and it's not typical for him, but this is one of those you were talking about Traffic and like some songs like 2 in the morning songs. This is on my list for 2 in the morning songs. I just like love listening to it. So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so
it's so good.
As I told Scott, I could do a whole episode on this song alone. Like I would just go through it and break all the little bits down and like, oh, there's this little bit here, this little bit here. It's a wonderful listen, and I can't say enough good things about this song. So I hope we've enticed the listeners to have a go, Scott. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
The next song is a song called 14th Street, and I chose this one actually because this is the song. It was on my Spotify You Might Like list several years ago, and I played it and I loved it instantly. And this I still love this song. I think it's a fantastic song. And we didn't give a lot of background on Rufus Wainwright because we could go on forever because we want to talk about the songs. But his mother is Kate McGarrigle, who some of you may have heard of, and his father is Loudon Wainwright, who I think most of you probably know. And Kate, his mom, plays banjo at the end of this one. But we won't get to the end, but we will start it off at the beginning.
You got my last brother's soul, my dear mother's eyes, brown horse's mane, and
just mentioned while we were listening to that, you know, it's a little show tuney, but it is so good. The instrumentation, the musicianship is incredible. I think Levon Helm plays drums on here.
That's what it said on the Wikipedia.
Yeah, and there's a lot of guest musicians on here on certain songs. Not on this one, but Linda Thompson is a background singer on one of the songs. But just so well done. Such a well crafted, well written, well perform song. It's so good.
And one of my favorite turns of a phrase, home of the brave, end of the week. Da, 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 da. It's like, that's just fantastic. I really enjoy that. The next song we're going to play is called Natasha, and it was written for a friend of his. And we'll just have a listen to it. This is quite different. It's a much quieter song. And we'll have a listen and have our thoughts after that.
You walk alone in the valley of life, in the shadow of love, under the trees of happiness. You walk alone like a baby unborn, like a father unknown, like a pirate. pocket penniless. I'm happy that you really care, but do you really know how scary this is for you and it's for me? Or do you really know? Do you really know? Oh, Natasha, all I can do is write a song for you, Natasha. Oh, Natasha.
Yeah, I mean, so good. You know, it's a little softer at the beginning and almost childlike, maybe, you know, a little almost like a lullaby. And then at the end, when the strings, you know, come in, it's so well done. Again, all of these songs are just well crafted and well performed. And it's amazing that it took me 20 years to hear this. I'm so thankful that I know that I have this in my life now. I just need to continue to listen to it more and more and more.
As with all the songs, there's a little twists and turns. These are even more subtle than normal, and you know, just a beautiful lyric, beautifully played, very simple, fantastic. That's really a gift to be able to have soft songs, and there's all different kinds of emotions on this album, which is what I love. Not just the music's different, but the emotions are different, and I really enjoy that as well.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, we're not going to cover it, but there's a song that's about like an argument that he had with his family. That's, I think, the last track. So it's just a very, like you said, all different kinds of emotions. It runs the gamut from happy to sad to emotional to fighting with your family, all basically everything that everybody deals with in life. And it's just so well done. I love it.
So the second to last song we're going to play is a song called Want. Again, another soft song. So again, just another achingly beautiful song delivered immaculately. I don't know what else to say. I mean, we keep saying the same thing over and over.
Agreed. I mean, we're saying the same thing over and over again, but it's just the way that all of these songs are. And you just kind of lose yourself in the words and in the music. And I need, again, a lot more time. I've only known this record now for, what, 3 or 4 days. And I just need more time and just need to absorb it and, you know, get the lyrics down and who knows, it could become one of my favorite records of all time. You know, it's just, it's that well done. It's that good. And it's from an artist that, again, I've known his name. I've heard his music. This is, I think, his third record. And I probably had heard stuff before this of his here and there, but it's just nobody I ever really like dug into. And I definitely need to continue to listen to some of his other stuff just to see if there's other little gems that, you know, you can mine. And
well,
and find.
Patrick's wife, Sheila, is a big fan of Rufus, and he told me that she went and saw Rufus Wainwright when she was 8.5 months pregnant with Gigi. So
got it.
Fantastic. All right. So before we close out, please feel free to comment on any of these songs or the album or anything we talked about this week. It's been a really fun week. I hope other folks maybe found something they didn't know about and maybe you'll dig into later. That was kind of the purpose of the week. I think hopefully, Scott, I turned you on to something.
Oh, for sure. Again, I'm pretty excited about digging into more of this record and more Michael Kiwanuka, for sure. But yeah, same. I hope people out there can find something that we talked about and latch onto it and just keep building their, you know, musical base. Excellent. And musical knowledge.
And you know how to contact Twitter, Facebook, Party Line. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Suburbs
blah, blah.
Pod.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Scott. It's been a pleasure. I had a great time. And
yep, thank you.
I'm Mike Wagner.
And I'm Scott Parks.
And thank you again. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again sometime in the future. Take care. I think we should listen to this because I could listen to this freaking forever.